Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson in for Rachel Miro. The California Supreme Court is expected to weigh in today on the fate of the state's redevelopment agencies. The High Court's ruling will determine whether the state has the right to eliminate community redevelopment agencies and divert billions in tax dollars to schools and other local services. City governments and agencies call the move illegal since voters banned the state from raiding local coffers in 2010. But Governor Jerry Brown and state lawmakers supporting the cut argue that since the agencies were created by the legislature, the state can dissolve them. State regulators say California farmers and landscapers are using more pesticides. A new state report shows a 10% jump in pesticide use after 4 years of decline. The California Report Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca explains.
The California Department of Pesticide Regulation's annual report is always a year behind, and this year's tally for 2010 shows an increase of nearly 15 million pounds of pesticides used across the state. Department officials say last year's cool and wet weather led farmers to use more fungicides to fight mildew and other diseases. More water for crops also meant growers planted more acres, including pesticide-intensive crops like cotton. The increase in pesticides comes despite a growing market for organic produce. Environmental watchdog groups say the data show farm workers in rural communities are still at risk from pesticide exposure. Paul Towers is with the Pesticide Action Network.
California is still headed in the wrong direction. We're stuck on this pesticide treadmill, and we desperately need to get off.
A soil fumigant, known by the trade name T-Lone, saw the greatest increase in use. It's used on crops like strawberries, grapes, and carrots, and is an alternative to methyl bromide, a chemical the U.S. has agreed to phase out under a global treaty to protect the ozone layer. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
In the coming year, California voters could be asked to scale back the state's three strikes law. Opponents of the harsh sentencing mandate have proposed a ballot measure that would put stricter standards on how the law is applied. As Mina Kim reports, the measure is sure to spark another heated debate over the state's tough-on-crime policies.
By her own account, Kelly Turner was a career thief.
My first strike was in 1988. I was sentenced to robbery in Los Angeles County. I came home and hadn't quite learned my lesson and got in some more trouble. And in 1992, I was convicted of another robbery.
After serving more time in state prison, Turner was arrested again. And in 1997, she was sentenced to 25 years to life. Her third strike, forging a check for $146.
To give me a sentence that is conducive to someone that has actually committed murder, someone that actually has blood on their hands, and I just had ink on my hands, it's not fair, and it's a strain on the economy.
About two dozen states have three strikes laws, but California is the only one that does not require the third offense to be a serious or violent crime to trigger a 25 years to life sentence. A new measure being proposed for next year's ballot could change that.
This is a very modest, sensible reform.
Dan Newman is a political strategist for the initiative that proponents call the Three Strikes Reform Act of 2012.
Voters, they voted for the three strikes so that they could keep the truly bad guys off the streets. They didn't vote for it so that we would spend over $100 million to lock up sock thieves.
The NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund is sponsoring the measure, and former investment banker David Mills has promised to help finance it. It would require a third strike to be serious or violent in order to trigger the maximum penalty, but with one caveat. Those previously convicted of murder, rape, or child molestation could still be put away for life for a minor third offense. San Francisco District Attorney George Gascon supports the proposal.
In fact, I would say to you that we are operating in this office very much as if this Reform Act was in place. We're saying very clearly, we believe that there are some people that do need to be incapacitated for very long periods of time because they are dangerous. There are other people that are not.
There are about 4,000 Californians serving life sentences for nonviolent third offenses, each at a cost to taxpayers of nearly $47,000 a year. Under the new proposal, those inmates could petition a judge for a reduced sentence. Gascon says San Francisco, which has used three strikes rarely, has enjoyed the same crime reductions as counties that invoke the law frequently.
Three strikes doesn't have an impact on public safety, it doesn't reduce crime, it doesn't make us any safer, it does increase significantly the cost of corrections.
I am an unabashed, strong supporter of the three strikes law.
Ventura County District Attorney Greg Totten is against any changes to the current three strikes law. He heads the state's District Attorneys Association and says attaching a severe penalty to a minor third offense is a powerful deterrent.
And when laws are weakened, some of the first people to figure that out are the criminals themselves.
Totten says there are also numerous protections built into the law that ensure it won't be misused.
We, I think prosecutors throughout California, have been very diligent in not abusing this law and reserving it for the worst of the worst.
Yet for repeat offender Kelly Turner, a judge in San Jose felt prosecutors went too far in applying three strikes. With the judge's help, Turner was released 2 years ago after serving 13 years for that forged check. She has since published a book and worked to help at-risk youth.
There are a lot of people that are behind the bars. Their value system has changed. They want to live, but yet they don't have a chance to live.
One of the bedrock principles of our system is that the punishment fits the crime.
Tim Szilard is a former San Francisco prosecutor. He advised supporters of the proposed Three Strikes initiative. Walking through downtown San Francisco, Szilard remembers a previous reform attempt, Proposition 66. That measure, which was defeated in 2004, would have limited third strikes to serious and violent felonies, but it did not disqualify convicted murderers, rapists, or child molesters. Szilard and other backers of the proposed ballot initiative believe there are other reasons voters might be willing to change three strikes this time around: the state's fiscal crisis and prison overcrowding.
Poll after poll has shown that the public is in a different place than they were in the early to mid-90s on public safety issues, and I think the public is really ready for change on these issues and is going to have to lead it.
That first test of public support comes now. Initiative backers need to collect more than 500,000 signatures to qualify the measure for next year's ballot. For the California Report, I'm Mina Kim.
That's the California Report for Thursday, December 29th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And URS Corporation, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical services to public agencies and private companies. URScorp.com.